Well, last Sunday at the later masses over at the worship center, I shared a little story, which I'll pass on to you today. The topic of the sermon was forgive your enemies that the pastor was giving one Sunday morning. And at the close of his rather long message, he asked how many were willing to forgive their enemies, and about half of the congregation raised their hands. Not satisfied, he preached for another 20 minutes and repeated the question. This time, a few more lifted their hands. Still unsatisfied, he lectured for another 15 minutes and repeated the question. Now, all hands were raised except one elderly lady in the back row. Mrs. Jones, aren't you willing to forgive your enemies? The pastor inquired. I don't have any, was her answer. Mrs. Jones, that's very unusual. How old are you? 93. Mrs. Jones, please come down in front and tell the congregation how a person can live 93 years and not have an enemy in the world. The sweet little lady tottered down the aisle, very slowly turned around and announced, it's easy. I just outlived them all. Today's gospel is not necessarily about how to love our enemies, but it is how to help people, how to help another person. And there's a couple main points I just wanted to touch on for a few minutes before I read the bishop's letter about the Lenten appeal. There's the main points in today's gospel. It's a short passage from St. Luke. First talks about spiritual blindness, and if we want to help people that are spiritually blind, we have to be able to see ourselves. And then it talks about the best way to bring other people closer to God is to come closer to God yourself. If you want to bring your children closer to God, then you as parents come closer to God. Then it talks about the importance of our inner heart and thoughts that lead to our words and actions. And then it talks about, lastly, bearing good fruit for the kingdom of God. How to bear good fruit. So Jesus says a parable. And a parable is when Jesus uses an earthly image to teach a heavenly truth. So the parable is about a blind person. And he says, can a blind person be a guide for a blind person? He says, that's not going to work. They're going to both fall into a pit. We even get the expression, the blind following the blind. That's been, expression's been around for 2,000 years since the Lord said that. Recently, when I saw Peter Jackson's brilliant documentary on World War I called They Shall Not Grow Old, there is a very touching and powerful scene about the soldiers, the British soldiers that were gassed by the mustard gas during World War I. They were all blinded. So literally hundreds of men blinded and had the blindfold on, and they were walking by placing their shoulders on the blind man in front of them. And literally, the line was going on for so long, all the hundreds that had lost their sight, and they all bandaged. But they would have fallen into a pit had not somebody in the very front been able to see. And that soldier was leading them back to, you know, the Red Cross and to safety. And so Jesus says, the blind should not follow the blind. So if we want to help those who are spiritually blind, we have to be able to see spiritually ourselves. Then the Lord gives a very interesting hyperbole, an example. He says, why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye and not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? It's really sort of a humorous hyperbole. You can picture Jesus saying this. You can picture the scene of somebody who has a big log in their eye, a big beam, a big plank, and they're trying to help somebody take a little speck or a splinter out of their brother's eye. Jesus says, if you try to do that, you'll be a hypocrite. Remove the wooden beam from your own eye first, then you'll be able to help that person get that splinter or that speck out of their eye. And whenever I am on an airplane, at the beginning, they always have the safety features. And as you know, they say that in case of cabin pressure change, the masks will fall from the ceiling. What does it say? Put your own mask on first, and then help others put theirs on, like your children, your neighbor. So again, the best way that we can help people is, again, to grow closer to God ourselves. And I remember the Irish comedian Hal Roach says that in those oxygen masks, he thinks there's nothing in there. They're just there to muffle the screams. He felt But the main point is that we should put our mask on first, and then we'll be able to help others put theirs on. And so again, if you want to bring your, how do you bring your children closer to God? Come closer to God yourself. You know, how do you bring your spouse closer to God? Come closer to God yourself. So many times, husbands and wives, they might look for the faults in each other, but that's not a good idea. And as you know, the way, if we ever, as you know the story, if you point your finger at somebody else, God designed it that we have three fingers pointing back at ourselves. See, God is pretty clever, isn't it? The way he designed the human hand. We point the finger at your wife, at your husband, at whoever, three coming back at ourselves. So, again, what's the best way to improve your husband or to improve your wife? Improve yourself. Grow closer to God yourself, and then the other person will respond and see that transformation in your life, and then they themselves will be affected in a very positive way. And then the last couple points Jesus says has to do with our inner thoughts and our inner heart. He says, a good person out of their store of goodness from their heart produces good things, good words, good actions. But an evil person in their heart and thoughts, that produces, they produce evil. So when we look at it, our thoughts, good thoughts will produce virtue, holiness, and will eventually lead us to heaven. Evil thoughts will produce vice and sin, which will lead a person to be separated from God. It all begins with the inner heart and the thoughts. And as I've sure have said before, and one of the most powerful quotes that I've really enjoy is, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an action and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you'll reap your destiny. So it all begins with our thoughts, Jesus says. In our heart, in our thoughts, they lead to good words and actions, good habits, a good moral character, and eventually towards heaven. Evil thoughts lead a person to evil words, evil actions, evil habits, evil character, sadly, to an evil destiny. And then he says, Jesus talks about a good tree bears good fruit. And what is the fruit he's talking about? He's talking about the virtues, faith, hope, charity, generosity, kindness, works of mercy. These are the good fruits that Jesus wants us to bear. And the Bishop's Lent Appeal is a way to bear good fruit in the diocese. And I'll share the bishop's letter with you. Bishop Burbage says, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bishop's Lenten Appeal supports the work of our diocese through programs and ministries that provide spiritual, charitable, and educational assistance to men, women, and children in our parishes. The theme for this year's appeal is Together in the Light of Christ. Christ our light has truly conquered the darkness. Your participation in the BLA is a profound way to share Christ's light with others, not only in your words, but also through the corporal works of mercy. I respectfully ask you to consider making a gift to this year's BLA to help continue to spread the love of Jesus Christ throughout our diocese. All BLA donations are treated as restricted gifts and are used for the sole benefit of the programs and ministries described in the appeal materials and on the diocesan website. Please know of my sincere gratitude to many of you who have given in the past and to this appeal. With God's grace and with your generous support, we will keep Christ's light shining brightly in our parishes, schools, families, and communities. In a few moments, your pastor, and unfortunately Father Barquette has not acquired the skill of bilocation yet. His Holiness is getting him in that direction, but he has to be at the other masses. So he says, your priest will walk you through the pledging process. Please be assured of my prayers for you and your families. May our Lord Jesus bless you abundantly during this sacred season of Lent, and always sincerely in Christ, Bishop Burbage. So I wanted to just mention Again, thank you in advance for your support of the BLA to help educate our seminarians, to help Catholic Charities, to help our Catholic Campus Ministries, the Family Life Office, the pro-life work of the diocese, preparing couples for marriage, and all the wonderful things that the diocese does. So if you can pass the form from the center to throughout the pew, I'll just take a moment to walk you through this, and we ask that one per family, that each family fill one of these out. Even if you already gave already, there's a box that says, I've already made my gift to the BLA. So you don't write another pledge, but do check that box. So if you could just pass the pencils and the envelopes down, there should be a pencil in each envelope, and just take a moment to fill it out with your name, address, phone number. This also helps us to keep our records up to date as well. And a couple interesting things, that this year there was a generous benefactor that is donating up to $300,000 for anyone who has never made a pledge before. If this is your first time pledging, and let's say you pledge $50 or $100, that benefactor will match that gift. Or if you gave $50 last year and give $100 this year, then that additional will be doubled by this generous benefactor. Also note that it's important in the bottom left-hand corner to write the name of your parish. If you're visiting from St. Clair's or St. Leo's, you can put your parish down. Father Barquette says, if you put St. Mary's down, you go straight to heaven. Okay, so that's not a bad thing. So if you're visiting from outside the diocese, want to make a pledge. And again, pledges are much better than a one-time gift. You know, if somebody can do a certain amount every month for 10 months, that helps the diocese even more than just a one-time gift. And if you do make a pledge, then they'll send you a reminder in the mail, and you can just send that back. So you can enclose cash or check today. And I think that the one last point is that obviously this is done because of Lent and to support the programs of the diocese. The bishop's Lenten appeal is a Lenten appeal. And as we'll read on Ash Wednesday, Jesus talks about we should all do three things: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, right? We should pray, we should fast, and we should give alms. Well, this is a great way to give alms because you know it's going to the needy and to the poor and to the good works of our diocese. So again, make it a Lenten sacrifice, a Lenten appeal, and you can just fill that out now, and then as you're filling it out, let's say a Hail Mary together for Bishop Burbage, for our diocese, and really for all the wonderful 40 programs that this will support, especially to educate our seminarians, our future priests. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.